Last year, U.S. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. thrust autism into the national spotlight, calling the developmental disability an epidemic and vowing to investigate what he characterized as its environmental causes. His speech and the reaction to it struck a nerve in the autism community and reignited debate about whether the autism spectrum is too broad and whether those with the highest needs are being left out of the conversation. Judy Woodruff and producer Mary Fecto have this story. It's part of our series, Disability Reframed.
Pizza. Car.
Oh, you want to go pizza car?
24-year-old Pablo Mesa lives with his parents outside of Santa Cruz, California.
We call him either Pobs or Pablito. He is full of life and energy. He absolutely loves listening to music. He is also on the very severe end of the autism spectrum. He's not able to tell me that something hurts.
His mother, Alicia Mesa, has been his principal caregiver since he was diagnosed at age 2.
He lives with deep frustration from not being able to communicate because he's nonverbal. His autism presents with severe self-injurious behavior, aggression, destructive behavior.
And he has hurt himself over time.
He has his aggression most of the time is trying to communicate that something's wrong. So instead of saying, oh, my head hurts, he'll start hitting his head forcefully. He has to go around wearing a football helmet in order to protect him from more brain injury.
Pablo is supported by an around-the-clock team of at least 3 people, funded by the state of California, who work with him to develop skills to become more independent and intervene if his behavior becomes aggressive.
Systems are not built for individuals like Pobs.
High-needs individuals like Pablo once represented the vast majority of diagnosed autism cases.
I mean, I remember the first patient I saw as a graduate student. People said, oh, he doesn't have autism because he's talking. Can you help me make a cake? Make it flat?
Catherine Lord is a clinical psychologist at the University of California, Los Angeles. She has spent more than 5 decades researching and diagnosing what is now known as autism.
We thought it was a very rare disorder that was defined by this combination of behaviors that we still talk about, but we're definitely better at identifying autism in young kids and also autism in adults.
Once thought to be a form of schizophrenia in young children, autism wasn't even recognized as a distinct condition until 1980. But in 2013, people with lower support needs, including those with a condition known as Asperger's syndrome, were all folded into a new diagnosis that Catherine Lord helped create, autism spectrum disorder.
I think the idea of a spectrum was really more than just one thing. It was the idea of like a rainbow where you have different hues and different levels of intensity and different subtle differences, but it's all together. And I think it may have backfired in some ways because it is now so big and includes so many things.
Driven in part by the broadening of the definition, the number of children with the diagnosis has skyrocketed over the past 25 years. Today, about 1 in 30 kids is diagnosed with autism. But critics of the broad definition say it puts people like Pablo in the same diagnostic category as Elon Musk.
I'm actually making history tonight as the first person with Asperger's to host SNL.
A 2021 Lancet Commission report on the future of autism research and care introduced the term profound autism for individuals needing 24/7 care, typically with IQs below 50, minimal verbal ability, or both.
If you have a hard line, inevitably some people will get harmed by which side they fall on it.
Colin Killick is the executive director of the Autistic Self-Advocacy Network, a group led entirely by autistic people. He says splitting the spectrum comes with a new set of issues.
The people who would be most hurt are the people who are right on either side of the line. The person who, if they get labeled profound, get stereotyped, get stigmatized, get shunted away from things like career services, or if they don't get labeled profound, lose access to vital supports and services that could keep them in the community.
These are kids who will never pay taxes. They'll never hold a job.
But the deep divisions within the autism community were on full display last year, after the way U.S. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. characterized autistic people during a news conference.
They'll never write a poem. They'll never go out on a date. Many of them will never use a toilet unassisted.
What was your response to that?
Horror, shock, anger. I mean, that's incredibly untrue.
Alicia Mesa disagrees.
A lot of people were offended. However, as a mother of a severely autistic son, I felt relief. Finally, someone in high office was acknowledging the reality that my son lives through every single day. To me, that is not stigma. That's truth.
Alicia says Pablo's high support needs have made it difficult to access services, even those provided by agencies that specialize in therapy for autistic people.
I lost count after 15 agencies that all of them came in here one by one into our home, just to be disappointed a few days later when I got a call from them saying, sorry, but you know, we're not actually able to take your case.
She thinks the autism spectrum diagnosis should be divided, and people like Pablo should be classified separately.
Let's go on the sidewalk, Mama. Pablito requires moment-to-moment supervision. Someone on the more mild side of the autism spectrum, they could have a completely independent life, so it's not the same, so there should be some distinction.
But over 2,500 miles away near Akron, Ohio, 31-year-old Jordan Zimmerman worries that those distinctions would have limited her opportunities. Zimmerman is a non-speaking autistic woman who communicates through a text-to-speech program, and because of that, some of our questions were provided in advance.
Before I had access to reliable communication, school was very difficult. I struggled to regulate my body, which sometimes looked like frustration, like hitting others or banging my head on walls. But it was really about not being able to express myself academically. I was often asked to repeat the same tasks over and over, even things I had already learned years earlier. So I wasn't just disconnected socially. And in society, I was also not even recognized for what I was capable of.
Her autism was thought to be too severe for her to learn in a classroom alongside her peers. That changed when she started using a communication app in an iPad at the age of 18.
What was that like for you personally to experience that ability to communicate for the first time?
It was painful to think about all I had missed and all the ways I had been so misjudged, but also incredible to think about how I could now have a say in my life.
And there's some other plaques, Ohio University.
And Boston College.
Zimmerman earned a master's degree, built a career in inclusive curriculum development, and now shares her story at speaking engagements worldwide. She questions whether those opportunities would have been possible if she had been labeled profound.
Based on the information I've seen and heard, I would likely be classified as profound due to my need for support and being non-speaking. My worry with that, for myself and everyone in the community, is that the narrative doctors told my family when I was 4 years old, but also when I was 18, is wildly different than who I am. It will more likely cause more healthcare disparities because once a formal label like profound autism is applied, it becomes easier for people to give up.
Back in California, Alicia Mesa says it's not about giving up, it's giving her son a voice.
Parents like myself are exhausted. You know, I can't go and advocate for him, you know, just take a trip to Washington. So he has the potential to disappear completely from the conversation.
You had a wonderful day today. Look, you
for the PBS NewsHour, I'm Judy Woodruff in Freedom, California.
And you're going to get to have ice cream.